Okay. Parashat Matot and Maaseh. We'll talk about B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven. Those are the Shvatim that in the Torah decided that they wanted to stay. They wanted to stay and settle the land that had been conquered by B'nai Yisrael in the wars against Sihon and Og. Now, this sounds like an extreme departure from the original plan, which was to go to Eretz Yisrael, Kibush, and Nachalah, to conquer the land and to inherit it. And yet, Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't find fault with the idea itself. But he does say that, you mean to say that you are going to stay behind and not going to help the rest of the tribes conquer Eretz Canaan? Right? Is that what you mean? And so they came to an agreement that Gad and Reuven will go and help conquer the land. And after they conquer the land, they'll come back to this Nachalah that they designed for themselves on the eastern side of the Jordan River. And that's the outline of the story. How Chatzi Shevet Menashe gets involved in this story is kind of unclear from what the Chumash tells us. And it's what's also unclear is what possibly does Chatzi Shevet anything mean? I mean, how do you get a Chatzi Shevet? Do you count the people? Or do you do it by in some other way? But they keep referring to Menashe, the Menashe that settled the land in Eva Yarden Mizracha, as Chatzi Shevet Menashe, as though it was a kind of known group. It was something you could put your eyes on. So these two problems, the problems of what Chatzi Shevet Menashe might possibly mean, or how they got involved in this story, because when it comes to Reuven and Gad, the Torah says they had excessive numbers of flocks, that flocks of sheep and flocks of cattle, and they needed a place to put them. So of course it's hard to understand where these flocks could possibly have come from. I mean, where did they get flocks from? Even if you say, as Chazal say, that they came from Sihon and Og, that the battles were won and the spoils were the flocks, how come this only existed for Reuven and Gad, and not for the other tribes? So why did they I mean, all of these problems seem to exist. Rabbi Robinson, if it was a more austere audience, I would introduce you at greater length.
When they were dividing up the shlal, they put
what?
Maybe when they were dividing up the shlal, they put a price tag on everything, and everybody got to take X.
Yeah, I mean, you could.
These guys said, we want the sheep and the cattle, and these guys.
It's true. Like if we were modern biblical scholars, we would say svaras. But we get worn out. We say svaras, we learn Gemara, and then we don't have any kayach left to say svaras and learning Chumash. I mean, the point that I'm making is that it's unclear that in the Torah doesn't clarify this point, which is difficult. So I thought that in order to understand a little more, we should look at the summary that is in Yoshua Perikav Bet. Yoshua Perikav Bet. Everybody learned this Perik once in their lives, although they may not remember it exactly, where Yoshua sums up the kibush and nachalah. Right? This Perikav Bet, I think there are 24, 25 prakim in Yoshua. So Yoshua is sort of summarizing his own life's work, which was to carry out the kibush and nachalah that was designed by Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And in this parak, let's just read a few of the psukim together. Az starts with that word az. You know, az is a powerful word, as Chazal understood. Yikra Yoshua leRuvein, even like Gadil Chatzim Maten Menashes. You see already, for Yehoshua, this is the group, and it includes Chatzim Maten Menashe. Even though, as we said before, we don't understand where they came from, what they have to do with this whole story, or why they were included, because originally it was only Reuven and Gad. That's what the pasuk in the Chumash says, that Reuven and Gad came and complained that they needed a place for their flocks. But here in Yehoshua Perikav Bet, Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe are the elements that we're talking about. They go together. And so, Vayomer lehem atem shmartem et kol asher tzivatchem Moshe Eved Hashem. You know that Moshe Rabbeinu is called several times Eved Hashem. More interestingly, I mean, Eved Hashem is a very powerful kind of title. But more interestingly, Yehoshua ben Nun is also called Yehoshua ben Eved Hashem in the beginning of Yehoshua and here as well. So he says, Tzibratchem Moshe Eved Hashem, they fulfilled the requirements, was they fought in Eretz Canaan, and now the fighting is over and the Nachala has taken place, so they can go back to where they wanted to live. You did not leave your brethren many days. The kibush actually took 7 years. I'm not sure if that's what he means. Ad hayom hazeh ushmartem et mishmeret mitzvat Hashem elokechem. And you are devotees of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You agree to the original agreement, right? Shvuah, there was a shvuah that they accepted and they took. Right in the halakha, it's even called Shvuat b'nei Gad b'nei Reuven, not chatzi shevet menashe. Pasuk dalet, v'achta, הניח השם אלוקיכם לאחיכם כאשר דיבר להם, הניח לאחיכם. In other words, the other tribes have assumed nachala. They've inherited the land, right? אחיכם אשר דיבר להם, ואתה פנו לכם, לא עליכם אל ארץ אחוזתכם, אשר נתן לכם משה, עבד השם בעבר הירדן. So this sounds like really a wonderful kind of thing. Here, there was an agreement. They fulfilled their side of the bargain. Yehoshua ben Nun says, I see that you've fulfilled your side of the bargain. What we want to do is go on. And that means you're going to go back to the eastern side of the Jordan, where you left women and children and flocks and all of that. And so the deal is a deal. Pasuk hey, rak shimru ma'od lasot ha-mitzvah v'at-torah asher tzivah etchem, Moshe Eved Hashem, la'ava at Hashem elokechem, v'lechem b'chol derachav, l'shmo mitzvotav, v'davka bo, u'lavdo b'chol avavchem, b'chol nafshechem. So you see, if you remember Sefer Dvarim, right, no, Sefer Dvarim is coming up, right, these are phrases that are taken from Sefer Dvarim. And all of these phrases can be taken in one of two ways. One of two ways. One is like a kind of negative way. It's Musa. You know what Musa is? Musa is the art of being unhappy. Like you're unhappy with what you did. You're unhappy with what you accomplished. You're always thinking about how it could be better. That's called Musa. What's Chassidut? What's Chassidut? It's the art of being happy. You say, ask Chassidut, they say, look, I'm living a miserable, good-for-nothing life, but tomorrow is going to be great. Or, alternatively, I'm living a miserable life. Maybe a little schnapps will do it, will change my whole point of view. That's the difference, generally speaking, between the Litvaks and the Chassidim. But here, in Musar, you see it. Yeah, I mean, you see it very, very clearly. Musa, not that Musa is always wrong. I don't mean to say that. I mean, psychologists are not always wrong when they tell you you're a miserable, despicable, unhappy person. They're not always wrong. But they create an aura. And that's... So the question is like, what is Yehoshua ben Nun saying? He just said that they accomplished what they set out to accomplish. So why is he saying all of this? Why is he saying, Shimru ba'od la'pasuk hei, la'asot et ha-mitzvah et ha-torah she'tziva etchem Moshe eved Hashem la'ahava et Hashem elokechem ve'lalechet bekodre, to love God, to go in His ways, to keep the mitzvot le'davka bo. Dafka bo is like the words that describe the essential religious experience. The Rambam likes those words, right? Those words, to cleave, they used to say in English. But it means to like be stuck. To get stuck to God. Le'davka bo, like devik. Dafka bo, la'avdo, b'chol levavchem, b'chol nafshechem. We have like a repeat, Shema Yisrael. Right, this is what Yehoshua is saying to Ruvi Garchatzi Shevin Menashe. Then Pasuk Vavayivarchem Yehoshua Veishalchem Yelchu El Ohaleim. Ohaleim, I guess, means in the local Ohalim, the where they were now. By Pasuk Zayin, Ulchatzei Shevin HaMenashe Natan Moshe Babashan Ulchatzion Natan Yehoshua Mechayem Me'Eber. Okay, so they divided up. Menashe was divided up half here and half there. Right, you know that the Golan, remember the Golan? It's like in the news these days. Pasuk Zayin. No, Pasuk Chet. ויאמר להם לאמור, בנכסים רבים שובו אל הלכם, ובמקנה רב מאוד בכסף וזהב ונחושת, בברזל ובשלמות הרבה מאוד חילקו שלל אויביכם עם אחיכם. So then there's a matter of shalal, right? They captured a lot of stuff in all these wars and Eretz Yisrael. So Yehoshua says, this is also going to be done equitably, all going to be done equitably. Pasuk Tet. וישובו וילכו בני רובי בני גד וחצי שבט למנשה. Again, this entity, רובי בני גד וחצי שבט מנשה, מעט בני ישראל משילו אשר ארץ כנען לכת ארץ הגלעד אל ארץ אחוזת חם אשר נוחזו בה על פי השם יד משה. עכשיו, שילו. What is שילו? What is שילו?
משכן.
Besides, yes. But Shiloh is the center of worship before Yerushalayim. I mean, Yerushalayim was not yet available. Yerushalayim was not a place that they could build the Beit HaMikdash in. Right? It took 400 years, over 400 years, for Bnei Yisrael to build the Beit HaMikdash. 400 years in those days is also a long time. Even though today it doesn't always seem like, you know, years pass, it doesn't seem like a long time. But he says, Shiloh, Pasuk Yud, Vayavou al Gililot HaYarden. Vayavou, they're on their way back. They're on their way back to the eastern side of the Jordan River. Remember? Eastern side, Sichon and Og and Moab. Eastern side of the Jordan River. Here's the Jordan River. You see it? Yes? And so there's the... I guess from you looking at it, this would be the eastern side. This is the western side. Right, so the people were going back, so they were crossing the Jordan River in some place called Galilot HaYarden. A Galil is a larger area. It's not a city, but it's an area. So Galilot HaYarden is the place that they were when they crossed. When they crossed, Asher be'eretz Canaan. Now here you have it. Here you have the story. Vayivnu b'nei Ruvain u'b'nei Gad v'chatzi shevet Menashe. Again, Their names, each tribe is named again and again, Et HaMizbeach, El Mul Eretz Kinaan, El Glilot HaYarden, El Eivah B'nei Yisrael. So they built a Mizbeach. They built a Mizbeach. Now why do you build a Mizbeach? Why do you build a Mizbeach? Well, either you build a Mizbeach to sacrifice upon it, or you build a Mizbeach as Avram Avinu did, in the parish of Lech Lecha, you build a Mizbeach in order to mark the spot. This is where I spoke to God. This is where the miracle took place. That's a Mizbeach. That's a Mizbeach. However, by now, it was also true because they had a Mishkan in the desert and they knew that there was a Mishkan in Shiloh, that the Mizbeach was the center of Avodas Hashem at that time. So the question that you have to ask yourself is, why did they build a Mizbeach? Did they build a Mizbeach to mark the spot? Or because they were leaving and they wanted to make sure they know the way back someday? Or did they build a Mizbeach because they realized that on the eastern side of the Jordan River, something was missing. Something was not acceptable. Pasuk Yudbet, Vayishma'u b'nei Yisrael ve'ikalu kol adat b'nei Yisrael Shiloh la'alot aleihem la'tzava. They all went to Shiloh. Vayishlechu b'nei Yisrael el, and so b'nei Yisrael sent to b'nei Reuven b'nei Gad b'chatzi shevet Menashe el Eretz Agilad, that's the Golan, el et Pinchas ben Elazar haKohen, last week's parsha, v'asara nesi'im imo, nesi'echad lebeit av lechol matot Yisrael, v'ish rosh beit avotam heim el alfei Yisrael, all these important people came, Vayavo el b'nei Reuven b'nei Gad v'chatzi shevet Menashe el Eretz Agilad vayidabru itam lemor. And what did they say? Pasuk Tet Zayin. Ko amru kol adat Hashem. Ma ha'ma'al hazeh. Hashem ma'altem b'elokei Yisrael lashuv hayom ma'charei Hashem bivnotchem lachem mizbeach lemodechem hayom b'ashem. So there is the answer to the question. The answer to the question was, what's going on? Why do B'nai Gad, the B'nai Reuven, why are they willing? Why are they interested? Why are they interested in setting up a separate world for themselves? And why is it that they were willing to accept the deal that Moshe Rabbeinu offered them? And finally, why did they build the Mizbeach? So it would seem starting from the Mizbeach that they thought they could not exist in the Eva HaYarden Mizracha, the eastern side of the Jordan River, without some center for their religious activity and devotion. And that center of religious devotion was supposed to be in Shiloh. Eventually coming to Yerushalayim was probably just too far away. It was just too far away. So they built a Mizbeach. And the way the Mizbeach was understood by B'nai Yisrael, the tribes of Israel, Pinchas and the elders, the Mizbeach was described as being a way of taking a stand against the wishes of Moshe Rabbeinu, of the Torah, of the Chachmei HaTorah, of Yoshua ben Nun. And so, if you go back and read the Psukim, and we said, well, why was Yoshua telling them Musar? Why was Yoshua concerned about their devotion? Why did Yoshua bring up Moshe Rabbeinu again and again? Why and why and why? It would seem that at the outset, it was understood that B'nai Gad and Reuven and Gad wanted some sort of independence from this notion of Klal Yisrael. And therefore this idea that you could be independent, that you wouldn't have to be devoted to the same center, which became a reality after Shlomo HaMelech died, right? You remember Shlomo HaMelech died, his son Rechavam became the king in Yehuda, and Yeravam ben Nevat became the king in Yisrael, and they became adversarial. They stood against each other. And as we said before, Yeravam ben Nevat tried to develop centers of religion in the northern part of Eretz Yisrael, north of Yerushalayim. And so eventually it didn't work out, and the northern kingdom was exiled in the time of Sancheriv, 722 BCE. It's a good date to remember. 722 BCE, they were exiled, and then we became Yehuda. That's who we became. We became Jews because Israel disappeared. It didn't exist then. And Yehuda lived on in the Gola, in the diaspora, in spite of and it's interesting to note that the Aseret HaShvatim, who were exiled by Sancheriv, they didn't live. They disappeared. They were absorbed into the greater world. But the tribe of Yehuda, which also included a little bit of Shimon and maybe Binyamin, there were little tribes connected to Yehuda. So Yehuda was never absorbed fully and maintained its identity throughout at least the last 2,000 years of exile. We, the Jewish people, continue to exist. I mean, the difference between Yehuda and Yisrael was that Yehuda had Yerushalayim, and Yisrael didn't have Yerushalayim. So that it may be, I mean, if you think about Tisha B'Av, it may be that one of the things that kept Am Yisrael alive was the memory of Yerushalayim. I mean, they didn't remember necessarily where the Nachalav Yehuda was, or Binyamin, or Shimon, but they remembered Yerushalayim. The 10 tribes that were exiled by Sancheriv from Eretz Yisrael had disappeared from the world. They didn't have that memory, because they were unsuccessful in setting up a Yerushalayim instead of Yerushalayim. They were not able to create that memory of a place, of a makom, to which we would go back and be part of. That were they were unable, they were simply unable to do. So in order to understand further, I want to look at the Sfat Emet. We turn the page. The Sfat Emet says, Sfat Emet goes back to this theme several times. So he says, Kvar katavdu mizeh. You see it? Ki vadai mukhan haya chelik zeh levnei gad levnei ruvein. I would say that the issue that the Sfat Emet is dealing with is this question. How is it possible that B'nai Gad and B'nai Ruvein would ask such an outrageous request? I mean, how can you give up Eretz Canaan as it was presented to B'nai Yisrael by Moshe Rabbeinu and stay behind in the eastern side of the Yarden? I mean, how is that even thinkable? And how is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say no? Moshe Rabbeinu said, as I'm repeating what we already said, right? Moshe Rabbeinu said, you have to go and fight. You have to be in the forefront of the attempt to lichbosh at Eretz Yisrael. You can't give up. But that might mean that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want B'nai Ruvein and B'nai Gad to weaken the resolve of the rest of Am Yisrael. But why did he agree in general that the people of Israel, could live in the Eber Yadei Mizraha at this time? So along comes the Sfat Emet, and he says this, I've already written about this problem, the problem that I just said. Ki vadai muchan ayach elek zeh lebnei gad v'nei ruvein. Mukhan, that this nachala that they took upon themselves, b'nei Gad and b'nei Reuven, it was prepared for them. It was when they came to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's as though they said, "Look, we had a vision, and the vision from HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that we should stay here, and therefore we want to do it." They didn't come and say, "We want something, or we have flocks, so we want to earn a living." Well, they didn't say that. According to the Sfat Emet, they came and they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "It's our prophecy. We realize that we're supposed to live here. Of course, we want to go to Eretz Canaan, but God has indicated to us." That's what Mukhan means. Mukhan means there is some other way of evaluating what's going on, and that's Mukhanut. Aval haratzon. Shegam oto hachelik hamuchan la'adam yachpotz lekablo al yedei haTorah. And this is what the Medrash calls a matana. The word matana in the Medrash here, right, this Medrash that the Sfat Emet quotes, a matana is something that you get for free, but you could turn it into a designated acquisition. In other words, you got it for no reason, no particular reason. You didn't deserve it necessarily, but you could turn it into something that really belongs to you. So that's what he says. Haratzon shegam oto hachelik hamuchan la'adam, that even that which is prepared, yachpotz lekablo al yedei haTorah, that you have to make acceptance a Torah act. It has to be something that the Torah wants. You have to be aware that the Torah wants you to do it. V'zeh ikar avodat ha'adam. And this is the primary event of human enterprise. Ki abore yitbarach, after all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, barach hatolam b'teva, umuchan lekol echad lefi mazalo. Here's the Sfat Emet, the philosopher. He says, everything in the world is teva. Everything in the world is teva. In other words, that there are laws, there's nature. You can look into it, you can find out how things work. But at the same time, muhan lekol echad lefi mazalo. Lefi mazalo, he means according to God's inclination. You can make it yours. You could take the teva and make it part of you. Aval b'nei Yisrael tzrichin la'alot hakol elav yitbarach lemala min hamazal. But b'nei Yisrael have some sort of obligation of changing the world of teva to a world of awareness of God's will. Right? Again, B'nei Yisrael, the third line, tzrichim la'alot hakol elav yitbarach lemala min hatev amazal. Right, mazal is God's imposition on teva, and you have to even get higher than that. You have to get to God's will. Right, tzrich shi'eh ratzon lekabel matnat shamayim. You have to have the will to accept the matana, right? Something that you get for no particular reason. Ubekorach haTorah va'azudavar shel kayama. Azudavar. So it seems to me the Sfat Emet doesn't even mention it. He's talking about this perek in Yoshua. He's talking about perek in Yoshua. Like, what did Yoshua say? Okay, you fulfilled the agreement, you did what you could do, you could go back there and yourself, but you have to remember that you have a higher calling. You have to turn that property that you are assuming into Eretz Yisrael. Right? And the way to turn into that property into Eretz Yisrael is Lishmor V'Lavo D'Lava, but all the things that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us again and again. That by seeing the hand of God in what is going on, by seeing that, right, you're able to turn it into something real, into a nachala. It's not just part of an agreement that we had, that if you come and you fight, so you're going to get the land as though you were mercenaries. You're not mercenaries. You have an obligation, just as B'nai Yisrael have an obligation of turning Eretz Canaan into Nachalat Am Yisrael, which is not something that happens in an obvious manner. You, Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Shevet and Menashe, you have an obligation to turn the land that you have squatted on into Eretz Canaan. And that's what the Svat HaMet is saying, I think. As if you do that, then it's really true. The distinction has taken place. It's something that has really happened. Davar shel kayama. L'chein ita shetzirichim mitpalel b'kol yom al mizonot av mi sheino mechusar parnasa. He says, that's why we know that we have to daven every day for mizonot. We have to daven every day for our basic sustenance. Af even a person, even a person who does not lack an income, ki ikar avoda shebalev zot fila, ikar avoda shebalev hu zot fila hu al she'ein chaser la adam, ikar avoda shebalev. Right? What is avoda shebalev? It's not that you ask for things. It's that you feel very comfortable with reality. That's avodah shebalev. Avodah shebalev is not to say to God, I know it can't happen. For example, in the summer in Eretz Yisrael, you can't ask for rain. That's not the idea of tefillah. The idea of tefillah is that you're comfortable with the reality, that you understand your connection to things that God has produced. Kikar avodah shebalev zot tefillah hu al she'ein chaser la'adam. It's all there. It's all available. It's when you daven, you say, I know that God made this available. I know that this is the way the world works. Kima she'chaser lo legarmo hu mevakesh. Right, he says, you talk about things that you're missing. So you're just talking about the physicality of things. You're talking about food. You're talking about something you're missing. That's no big deal. That doesn't have to do with tefillah. That's because tefillah is like, you know, an existential kind of appeal. I want to be with God. And the way I say that, the Rambam would agree probably, is that I understand something. I understand about how the world was created. I understand what God wants from me. I understand what it is that has to happen. And that's why Yoshua ben Nun said to Reuben and Gad, Chatzi Shevet Menashe, make sure to maintain that understanding. The deal is a deal. Okay, we had a deal, but that's legarmo, that's the physicality of the world. That you're getting something. You did something, you're getting something, but that's not what makes it into Eretz Yisrael. That's not what changes the land into the land that God gave us. That's not what it is. I hope I'm not reading too much into this, what I meant, but this one seems to me to be correct. Rak chachamim kavu yudchet brachot al kol hatzorach l'adam sheyivarer shakol mimenu yitbarach v'yivakesh shemiyito yitbarach lavo lo eila hadvarim. In other words, it's true, he says, that in Shemona Esrei we understand, we ask for things. But that's not the point. The point that we daven, the point that which we ask for things, is that we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives it. It's that understanding which is what tefillah is all about and makes tefillah democratic. Everybody can participate. That's why everybody can be part of a minyan. Like, theoretically, even women, but that's not, I don't want to be politically correct or incorrect. In other words, every person has an equal right to be part of a minyan. There's no way of differentiating. Everybody knows. You could have the greatest scholar in the world, right, in your shul. He's 1 out of 10. He can't even get to 2. You can't, you know, you just have to count them. You have to count them because tefillah is about awareness. It's about awareness of God's relationship to the world. And that awareness divides equally over everybody. Because awareness is not about depth of awareness. Awareness is just about, you know, lightning, the thunder, all of that is awareness. I'm 4 lines at the bottom, at the end of the line, the last 2 words, Ba'az, Kishay Matnat Shamayim, Uba'im Bekoach HaTorah. Says when they're Matnat Shamayim, when you get something, right, you just got it. Like Reuven got Chatzi Shevet Menashe, they got it. They got what they wanted. It was Matnat Shamayim. What does Matnat Shamayim mean? It's not yet determined what its status is. It's a matana, I mean, you have it. But having something means that it could just be for your physical need, for the way you are, right? This is Matnat Shamayim. Uba'im b'koach ha-Torah. And they come to you. That's that awareness that it's the Torah purpose that brought you this result. That the purpose of Torah, which is clear, right, mandated that Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menashe would get what they got. Better the end than the beginning, right? Yoshua Perikav Bet, because the end of the process always indicates what was really going on, what was really happening. Kishedavuk bereshit shosho, when he's still connected to the beginning, to the root. Uhu haTorah shedekret reshit, that the Medrash says the Torah is also called reshit. It all comes from the Torah, and therefore you have to bring it back to the Torah. Kimochein, as he says, Bechelik b'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven. You see? No Menashe. B'nei Gad u'b'nei Reuven. Afal pi shaya muchan lahem. Even though this land, Sichon and Og, was really theirs. It was really theirs to turn into Eretz Yisrael, right? Muchan lehem. O il velohu tav be'enei Moshe Rabbeinu olam shalom, shu shorish haTorah. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu shu shorish haTorah, though the whole Torah comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't like the idea at the beginning. Muchach shelo haya ratzon shelem davuk. B'shleimut, that means that why was Moshe Rabbeinu unhappy? Why was Moshe Rabbeinu happy? Because he perceived that Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Shevet Menashe were not properly ready to undertake this enterprise. And therefore we see again in Perikav Bet that they built the Mizbeach. And what was the Mizbeach? The Mizbeach was competitive. It was not Shiloh and would not be Yerushalayim. And since it was not Shiloh, it would not be Yerushalayim. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu said, they're not ready for this. They can't undertake this. So that he created this Tanai, B'nei Gad and B'nei Reuven, which was a technical thing which enabled them to go and to conquer the land, in spite of the fact that they were not really ready to inherit the land of Sichon and Og, and Elga turned it into Eretz Yisrael. So look at that line again. Kmo Chein, next to the last line. Bechelik b'nei Gad b'nei Reuven avabi shehaya muchan lahem. Even though at some level the land of Sichon and Og was ready to be absorbed by Reuven and Gad and to become part of Eretz Yisrael, even though that's true, this was not Moshe Rabbeinu didn't like it. Shehu Shorish HaTorah, right? It was Moshe Rabbeinu didn't like the idea. Because if he liked the idea, he would have said, go ahead, great, great idea. Muchad shelo haya ratzon shelahem davuk bishleimut bekoch haTorah. Their will, the will of Reuven and God was not, did not cleave, davuk bishleimut bekoch haTorah, did not really connect totally to the koach haTorah, to the strength, to the voice of the Torah. Right, they didn't have that. V'lechein lo nitkayem biyadam. You see that? It didn't happen, and therefore it didn't happen. Whoever knows halacha, knows that the mitzvot lot ba'aretz are only partially imposed on the land of Reuven and Gad and Chetzi. And kedushat eretz Yisrael can be defined as mitzvot atliot ba'aretz. In other words, after the kibush at Nachaloh, then what do you call it? The mitzvot atliot ba'aretz were imposed upon Eretz Yisrael. They didn't come automatically. It wasn't something that happened because Eretz Yisrael was there. But this was not the case with Eva Yadei Mizracha. Some things, yes, but most things not. Most mitzvot of Gobars were not imposed on Eva Yadei Mizracha. That's because the Svatamet says, Shelo Yaratzon Shalem Davuk Bishleimut Bekoch HaTorah V'lachein Lo Nitkayem Biyadam. Ma Lo Nitkayem Biyadam? To make it into Eretz Yisrael. In other words, even though if you say, if somebody who asks me, like, what makes Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, I say kibush and nachalah. But that, according to the Sfat Emet, it's not true. But it's kibush, nachalah, and attitude. You have to think the right way. And that's why Yoshua ben Nun said to Reuven Gad Chatzi Shevet Menashe, Lishvorta mitzvot, the chayemet the mitzvot, la avodat Hashem, that this is really what does it. But they did not understand, and they went and they built the Mizbeach, which was competition somehow for Shiloh, and remained, and therefore they were unable to achieve what should have been achieved. What I wanted to teach also, which I'm not going to do, because I think I've annoyed enough with my coughing, is the Hamek Davar. If you have a chance, you should look at it. The Hamek Davar to Dvarim Perigimel, where it says, Ruvayni v'gadil et dati min ha-gilad, v'al nachal anon toch ha-nachal u'gvul, ad yabok ha-nachal u'gvul ben amon. Right? You see the pasuk? This is Moshe Rabbeinu telling the story, the beginning of Dvarim. Beginning of Dvarim, next week. Not this week. Next week is Dvarim. Dvarim always comes before Tisha B'Av. But you see in this pasuk when Moshe Rabbeinu tells the story, he only talks about Ruvayni v'lagadi. There's no mention of the Chatzi Shevet Menashe in this pasuk, which they certainly should be mentioned. Hamikdavar, which we're not going to do right now, but I'll just tell you one thing that he said. He proves that Menashe, that the Chatzi Shevet Menashe contributed Talmidei Chachamim to Reuven and Gad. That it changed the nature of the enterprise, that even though there was no other reason to include Chatzi Shevet Menashe, because Reuven and Gad, they had their flocks of the sheep and they were big, they had people, there was no need. But Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to increase the level of Talmidei Chachamim in this enterprise so that things would be changed. So if you connect the Amek Dover and the Sfat Emet, which by the way, in terms of chronology, is really almost possible. The Tzib died before the Sfat Emet, but they're contemporary. So the Sfat Emet said they were not successful. That the Reuven and Gad Chatzi Shevet Menashe were not successful in turning that land into Eretz Yisrael. and that Moshe Rabbeinu understood that, and he knew that, and he was, and therefore he was a little nervous about this whole process, and he created the Tanai B'nai Gad or B'nai Reuven. Right? That's that. But and the Netziv adds, and not only that, but Chatzi Shevet Menashe were added to this enterprise in order that the level of Talmidei Chachamim present at the time should be increased. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, when the thing failed after all, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, he knew that it was going to fail. So he said, B'nei Gad B'nei Reuven, he didn't count Menashe. Okay. All the best. We'll have a shiur next week before Tisha B'Av, and then I'm going to take off a few weeks. Ben Azman. How are you, Rabbi Robinson?
Baruch Hashem. Okay.